My name is Kendall Rasnick.
In the last show, we began looking at what that word God means. And we saw that the word God means divine nature. You may remember from that show that the divine nature is something that three persons possess: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And an easy way to understand that is to think about human nature. There's only one human nature. You're either human or you're not. There's not 20 different types of humans. When we say human, you're either human or you're not human. So there's only one human nature. But there are billions of people who possess human nature. So similarly, there is only one God, because that word God means the divine nature. But there are three persons who possess it: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we saw in our last program that the Godhead is united. In Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And that Hebrew word there for one is ekyod, and that word means united. So even though there are three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are united in thought, united in purpose, and united in work. A contrast to that would be the Roman or Greek mythological gods. We saw them in our mythology books, and they were fighting with each other and cheating on each other and all those sort of things. They were not united at all. And this is also a good indication that those gods were invented by man, because they don't act like God, they act like men. They act and have the qualities and attributes of men, which shows that they were invented by God. But man does not look at himself and come up with something so wonderful and so supreme and so united as we see the Godhead is. So when we say God, we have to remember that's referencing the divine nature. And there are three persons who possess that nature, and we call those three the Godhead, or we might refer to them as the Godhood, or some people like to refer to it as the Trinity. It's referring to the same three persons. Now, each of those three persons have that same deity or divine nature. Take a look at the book of Genesis. This is interesting. If you look at the book of Genesis chapter 1, this is, of course, the very beginning of time in our history that we have for the earth. In Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, the Hebrew word for God here is the word Elohim. Now, I may not be the best at pronouncing Hebrew, so if you know how to pronounce it better, you pronounce it your way. But I would say Elohim. Now, what's interesting about that word is it means God, but it's also plural. Now, wait a minute. Is that saying that there's more than one God? No. There's still only one God. The word here is referencing, though, that it's a plurality or more than one working together as a single unit. Now, what does that mean? I think the easiest way to explain that is the word team. And you might have a football team that you enjoy, or a baseball team. I like watching baseball. I like watching football. And when I watch a team, the word team is singular, isn't it? You can have more than one team. If one team plays another, you could say there are two teams playing on the field. So the word team is actually a singular word. But what does that word indicate? It indicates a group or more than one person working together as a team. You can't have a team of one, right? If you say the word team, even though that word is singular, it indicates there is more than one active and involved. So that's kind of what we're seeing here in the book of Genesis. When that word God is used, it actually indicates a plurality working together as a singular unit. And that's what we said God is. It's one divine nature, but it's three persons who have it working together. You can see that also later in the same chapter, if you look down at verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. "God said, let us make man in our image." Now, right there, you've already had two plural words, us and our. Those indicate plurality. But it's still one God. So what does that mean? There's one divine nature, but there are three persons working together in that divine nature. So hopefully this is clearing up confusion that you may have had of how can there be only one God, but yet we say there's three. There's a Trinity. There's one divine nature, three persons possess it, and when they're working together, they work together as a team. I think one of the clear ways that we can see that there really are three different persons in the Godhead that work together is over in the book of Matthew. So open your Bibles there with me now, if you would, and let's take a look at Matthew chapter 3. You may remember that Jesus was baptized, and he came to John the Baptist, or the baptizer, and he said, "I want you to baptize me." Of course, John said, "Well, really, I'm the one that needs to be baptized of you." But in verse 15 of Matthew 3, Jesus said, "Well, suffer it to be so now." In other words, let's just bear with me and go ahead and do it now. And what happened after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptizer? Look at verse 16. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Now, we already said that Jesus is this, what we might call the second person of the Godhead, God the Son. We know that he was God from John chapter 1. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word," in verse 14, "became flesh and dwelt among us." So God became flesh and dwelt among us, and that's God that we call Jesus, God the Son. So here's Jesus, God the Son. He's being baptized, and he went up straightway out of the water, and then what happens? The heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God. That's the third person of the Godhead. We sometimes refer to it as the Holy Spirit. And when we say that, we're referencing the third person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and the third one we call God the Holy Spirit. So here's God the Son, and what happens is God the Spirit descends like a dove. And then in verse 17, a voice, not from next to the river, not from the Spirit that was lighting upon Christ, but actually from heaven, a different location. And God from heaven says in verse 17, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So right there, all in one instance, you get a picture of God the Father speaking from heaven, God the Son being baptized, and God the Holy Spirit lighting upon Christ, as it says, like a dove. Now, each of these three members of the Godhead are called God. And why? Because they possess that God, that divine nature. So we can see that they are distinct. They are individual persons. We should never mistake that the Godhead is really just one person, or that the Holy Spirit, one of the biggest mistakes that we make is that the Holy Spirit is an emotion or just a feeling. That is not true. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit shows the personality characteristics of the Godhead. Now, take a look at the book of John, as we're going to look real quick here at John chapter 6 and verse 27. Here we see that the first member of the Godhood or Godhead is God. Notice here we read, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." So there, when we say God the Father, that's a biblical term. The first person of the Godhead we call God the Father. In that same book, John chapter 1, as I referenced before, we see the second person of the Godhead, but they are also called God. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In verse 14 of that same chapter, the Word, referring to God, was made flesh. Well, who would that be? Who came down to earth as God and was made flesh? Well, that was God the Son. We call that person Jesus. Then the third member of the Godhead is called God. Take a look at the book of Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Now you may remember the story about Ananias and Sapphira. They saw people selling their land and giving it away, or should I say giving the money away that they got from selling their land. Well, they wanted to do that too, and I think they may have done it to make themselves look good because they lied about how much money they got. They sold the land, and then they lied about the amount of money. They kept back part of the price of the land. So notice Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. When they lied, they were caught in that lie. Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? So they sold land, they had this money, but they kept back part of the price, and then they just may have came in and lied about it and said, oh, we sold it, and here's all the money. But notice Peter says, you lied to the Holy Spirit. Keep that in mind. That's interesting because in verse 4 it says, while it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Now verse 4 says they lied to the Holy Spirit. And verse 4 says they lied to God. That means that God is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is God. One of the persons of the Godhead, in other words, is the Holy Spirit. So all three members that we saw at the baptism of Christ, all three members of the Godhead are called God or referenced as God here in the Bible. I want you to take a look here at Matthew chapter 28. This will probably be the last couple of verses we look at in this program. In Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18. Here, Jesus is speaking, and he references the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the Godhead as well. In verse 18, he says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of, that means by the authority of. So when these apostles and disciples and everybody today, when we go out and we baptize people, by whose authority do we do that? Well, that's God's authority. Jesus here is telling them to do it, and Jesus was God, wasn't he? So if that's the case, by whose authority? It's God's authority. But Jesus says, even more distinctly or even more particularly, he says, baptize them in the name of or by the authority of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So there we can see that all three members of the Godhead are mentioned. They are distinct persons, but yet they all possess that one God, that one divine nature.